Hello, this is Mark. The following story by 60 Minutes, a television magazine, discusses the pervasiveness of gambling in the United States. Enjoy.
It wasn't that long ago that if you wanted to gamble, you had to travel a long way. Today, to shoot craps or play slots, all you have to do is get in your car. There's probably a casino in your state or right next door. There are casinos now in 38 states, which use the revenue from gambling to help solve their bloated budget deficits. The main attraction at these casinos is now the new slot machines. There are close to 850,000 of them in the United States, twice the number of ATMs. We Americans spend more money on slots than on movies, baseball, and theme parks combined. But with the modern slot machines, there's a greater potential for a dangerous side effect, gambling addiction, as more people are addicted to slots than any other form of gambling. This is what slot machines used to look like, where you pull the handle and hope for three of a kind. This is what they look like today. The modern slots are like high-tech video games that play music and scenes from TV shows. You can play hundreds of lines at once, and instead of pulling a handle, you bet by pushing buttons, which means each bet can be completed in as little as 3.5 seconds. It looks like great fun, but it can be dangerously addictive.
Whether or not it's their intention, the gambling industry is designing machines that can addict people.
MIT anthropology professor Natasha Scholl has studied gambling addiction for over 15 years. She's interviewed gamblers, casino owners, and slot machine designers.
Do you think that most people would even think that a machine could addict you, that a machine can do the same thing that a drug could?
What addiction really has to do is with the speed of rewards. And these machines, if they're packing 1,200 hands per hour into play, you're being exposed. You could see that as being exposed to a higher dose.
A higher dose, says Scholl, because all that speed means more bets, and that means more excitement. And no machine is better for that than the penny slot, the most popular game on the casino floor. Because the bets are small, you can place hundreds of them at a time.
Another core aspect of their addictiveness is their continuous nature. You're not interrupted by anything. You're not waiting for the horses to run. You're not waiting for the guy next to you to choose his card to put down. There's no roulette wheel spinning. It's just you and the machine. It's a continuous flow without interruption.
I found that the machines were wonderful. I loved the excitement. I loved the people. I loved the camaraderie, the high fives when you win. It was just very exciting.
Sandy Hall lives only a short drive from thousands of slot machines in Rhode Island and Connecticut. Married with two daughters, she worked in a bookstore and used to look at the casinos as an entertaining break. But eventually, she was playing slots so much, she burned through her retirement funds.
My every thought and every being, if I wasn't at the casino, I was figuring out how I was going to get there. Where was I going to get the money?
You know, you sound like a heroin addict.
It takes your soul. It takes your humanity. You drive home pounding the steering wheel, promising yourself you're never going to go again. You're never going to do it again. And you know that you're going down and you're going down and you're going down. I became, from a nice person, I became a manipulative, deceitful, lying person.
Lies just manufactured themselves. You didn't even have to think about it.
Marilyn Lancelot, another slot addict, ended up embezzling over $250,000 from her employer in Phoenix, Arizona.
My daughters lived within two houses away. They did not know I was stealing money or gambling until one day seven police cars drove into my yard and took me away in handcuffs. That's how they found out.
Handcuffs?
Yeah.
This is gambling for gambling's sake, and the aim is not to win a jackpot.
She's not talking about most people who go to casinos. She's only talking about addicted gamblers.
Are you saying that they'd rather stay in the game than win the money?
Yeah, not only am I saying that, but I found instances where gamblers who won a jackpot then became irritated because it stopped the flow of play.
Researchers at the University of Waterloo in Canada measured how players respond physiologically while they gamble and showed that the new machines can make them think they're winning, even when they're not. The gambler almost always gets some money back. If he puts in a dollar, he might get back 50 cents. But the sounds and flickering lights trick his brain into thinking he came out ahead. The constant feeling of winning creates so much pleasure, says Natasha Schull, that regular players can slip into a trance-like state, a place she calls the zone.
One gambler told me that when he's in the zone, he couldn't remember his children's name.
You go into that trance, that zone, that box. Nobody can touch you. You have escaped from reality. No one can ask you for anything.
When you sat in front of those machines, did you get in the zone? Did you have a
buzz? I was having a love affair with that machine. That was my love. If anybody came near it or touched it, back off. Don't touch my machine. It was the same as a kiss from a lover.
Really?
It was sweet, sweet.
And yet, not everyone is convinced the machines addict people. Listen to Howard Schaefer, the director of the Harvard Medical School Division on Addiction, the man the gambling industry loves to quote.
And your position is machines are not addictive, that machines, inanimate objects, are not addictive?
Machines didn't make me do it. If slot machines caused addiction, then most people who played slot machines would develop addiction, and it's the opposite.
But at one point, you said slot machines were the crack cocaine of gambling.
I did say
and,
that.
And how does that square with what you're telling me today?
Not everybody who uses crack cocaine becomes addicted.
Yeah, but nobody's going to sit here and try to tell me crack cocaine isn't addictive. And if this is like crack cocaine, the conclusion is that it's addictive.
I don't come to the same conclusion because
how
the majority of people that have used cocaine have not developed cocaine addiction. Only a small minority have. And the same would be true with gambling.
The problem is that that small minority that does get addicted is hit hard.
You are getting a little dose of gambling in your brain every 3 seconds. It's a gambling IV.
But there's a drip.
Doctors Robert Breen and Henry Lesser are gambling addiction specialists at Rhode Island Hospital. They've treated 1,300 slot addicts who, when they try to stop, look like heroin addicts in withdrawal.
And they're coming in and they could quit literally. They have shakes.
They're physically
having these responses, and you tell yourself, it's got to be, they got to be on something,
yeah.
And it turns out that they're withdrawing from the gambling.
Right. Slots in particular.
Yeah.
And yet, state after state is turning to slots as an easy way to raise revenue and increase jobs. And no state has been more aggressive in luring gaming in the last few years than Pennsylvania, where the opening of the Sugar House in September made Philadelphia the largest U.S. city to house a casino. So far, there are 10 gambling halls in the state with plans for 61,000 slot machines. An 11th casino on the drawing board would be close to the main entrance of the Gettysburg National Battlefield. Governor Ed Rendell, who's about to leave office, championed the casinos.
Look, gambling is not anything we should say, oh, thank Lord we have gambling. But it is a decent way to raise revenue where the upsides that's produced is significantly better than any downside that comes from it.
You said there were downsides to gaming. What are they?
The biggest downside is that some people lose their paychecks. But understand, Leslie, they're not losing their paychecks because Pennsylvania instituted gaming. Those people were losing their paychecks in Atlantic City, in Delaware at the racetracks,
so why not lose
or in
it
West
here,
Virginia. Well, if they're going to lose it anyway, let's get the upside. We were getting all the downside and none of the upside.
The upside, he says, is the $1 billion the state got in gambling revenue last year, which was used to provide a $200 a home property tax reduction, plus more relief for senior citizens.
People have been gambling since organized society was formed on the banks of the Tigris and Euphrates. They were gambling. And they will gamble as long as there is life on this planet. And that's a fact.
No one's saying that people can't gamble. This is about government using gambling to prey on human weakness for profit.
Les Bernal is head of the national organization Stop Predatory Gambling. He and Massachusetts State Senator Sue Tucker have been fighting a move to bring casinos and slot parlors to the Bay State.
We're in the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And the daily voice of government to most Americans is, we're gonna push casinos and we're going to push lottery tickets.
Well, but you have a situation where states are desperate. They're way over budget. They have to find revenue somewhere. They know people will gamble.
As a revenue raiser, it defies every principle. It's regressive. In other words, it takes far more money out of lower income people's pockets than higher income. It is cannibalistic. In other words, it eats other forms of revenue. When you have your citizens dumping $2 billion down the slots, they're not buying a new car, and you lose that tax.
You brought these casinos to the state. Do you ever just say to yourself, oh, my God, there are a lot of people who are suffering, and they're taking whatever money they have.
You don't listen.
And they're throwing
listen.
It away in these casinos. And do you ever
listen.
Just say, oh, what have I done?
You don't listen. Anyone who has that bent would be doing it in other places had Pennsylvania not legalized gambling.
The counterargument is that you're creating new gamblers.
But
then lots of new gamblers.
You're not creating new gamblers.
Well, because it's down the street. Just logically.
But those people play the lottery. They bet
on
football.
Necessarily.
How much money is bet on the Super Bowl?
People are losing money for the state to get its revenue. They're losing money.
Let me answer this. I've known you for two or three decades. You're a very smart person.
But not now.
But you're not getting it.
I'm dumb now.
You're not getting it. Those people would lose that money anyway. Don't you understand?
Our pressing him on this point led to this.
You guys don't get that.
I do get it.
You're simpletons. You're idiots if you don't get that.
We couldn't figure out why all the emotion. But his main point was that gambling is good entertainment and people should be allowed to make their own decisions about it. But since the first casino opened in Pennsylvania 5 years ago, calls to gambling addiction hotlines in the state have tripled. Sandy Hall says her problems didn't start till three casinos opened near her.
I cannot read my local newspaper without having full-page ads of upcoming events and slot play and free this and free that. The exposure is phenomenal because of the proximity of three casinos.
Fewer than 25% of Massachusetts residents went out of state to gamble.
That's a lot of people.
75% didn't.
I know, but
25%. That's the group the industry wants. They want the 75% that can get on the tee and go to a nearby casino and get in trouble with gambling. That's the playbook.
Go to 60MinutesOvertime.com for our story on what your odds are of winning at the casino.